Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Here on Herb Talk, it's all about empowerment. That's what we're going to do here on Herb Talk. Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network. How's your day going there, Frank? Is it going okay? Awesome. Here on Herb Talk, it's about empowering you because that's what we like to do. What do you say, Frank? Okay. Yeah, he's got a long day ahead. All right, so we're going to be talking about some great stuff, and I've got paper issues on here over Frank. I'm sorry. I have paper issues. we got a quack report. We got a great. So we're going to be talking about the first part of the show. Built on trust. Your organic market is built on trust. We're going to talk about some of the inside stuff there, and we have a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, a big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm seeking the Lord's face. I'm minding the time. And today's devotional. Well, it's kind of on one of those harsher notes that we all have to hear. It says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. That's Psalms 9. And as we know, in Matthew 10, it says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So that would be the Lord's power right there. So have a healthy respect and love for the Lord. Mind the time, because it grows short, because the Lord is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up in the quack report, hey, guess what? Garbage is piling up in New York as some sanitation workers are protesting the vaccine mandate. Let's see, out of the 7,200 sanitation workers in New York City, 1,400 have walked away. They're on administrative leave for not being vaccinated. And so in their absence, what remained on the streets are really massive numbers of garbage bags piling up. It's been piling up in New York City with the staff shortage. And of course, the elect that manage the city aren't too worried about that. They want their mandate not ignored. But, hey, we'll see how this all shakes out, right, Frank? Here's another one. Army surgeon warned that pilots could die in midair from the COVID vaccine from injury, but this Army captain was ignored. This is Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long. She's a senior United States Army flight surgeon. She said that during a roundtable discussion, and this is on Capitol Hill, November 2nd, it was hosted by Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. She warned them that she told her supervisors there's a possibility that pilots, after they get injected with the COVID-19 serum, could die in mid-flight and suffer other vaccine injuries. But her warnings were ignored. Johnson also said that the part of the roundtable was an effort to hold federal agencies accountable, as well as to encourage officials to be honest and transparent about the COVID-19 vaccines. He says, we want all the pandemic to be over, but ignoring early treatment and implementing policies that do more damage is not a solution, he said. So she was testifying under the Military Whistleblower Protection Act. So Lieutenant Colonel Long said she had grounded three pilots due to getting a vaccine, 19. She said, Long said, two of the pilots she saw in the clinic had chest pain days or weeks after they received their vaccines. The pilots were later diagnosed with pericarditis. A third pilot, Long said, he felt fatigued 24 hours after he got vaccinated, and he was having trouble keeping his energy up, and he was drinking a lot of caffeine to stay awake as he continued to fly. But he realized the fatigue wasn't going away, so he went and sought help. Following these groundings, Long did suffer harassment by her officials. Par for the course, isn't it, Frank, in our corrupt world? And last but not least, in the quack report, unfit nation, 2 in 5 people feel exhausted after they walk a flight of stairs. Yep, this was a survey of 2,000 Americans finding strength or weight training, like doing yard work, cardio exercise, leave them feeling uncomfortably sore and fatigued. Just scaling a flight of stairs in either direction is exhausting for people that are really out of shape after they do so. This is 3 in 5 people reluctant to exercise at all in our nation. Wow. So, that's usually an indicator if a flight of stairs, and a flight of stairs can be anywhere from 7 to 14 steps, roughly, in a residential home, a little bit bigger in a commercial building. But if you feel winded and exhausted after climbing those flights of stairs, or even going down them in some instances, you may have congestive heart failure. Go get that checked. Really, it's an issue. And that wraps the quack report. Thank you, Frank. Alrighty, we're going to talk about this organic market because I get a lot of questions about this. So I thought we kind of, you know, hit the high points, kind of hit the ground running a little bit. So the organic market, where consumers go out there and they purchase, you know, foodstuffs or supplements, they really trust, you know, the labeling, the marketing on the product, you know, if it's organic or not. So the pursuit for consumers to purchase organic foods is pretty much a challenge. So the market is set up for consumers to look for these logos or seals to confirm an item is truly organic. At least that's what the consumer thinks. So are these measures, though, enough to prevent, let's say, misrepresenting a product? Well, you know, the truth is no, it's not. The regulations governing the organic food market have kind of loopholes big enough to drive a herd of cattle through them. Okay. So, you know, this has kind of prompted some, I guess, food import export outfits and agricultural companies to exploit this market. So we're going to check it out. Give you a heads up. You probably already savvy up there. Know a bunch of this already. Good for you. Let's look at these seals and logos. You're familiar with them. Frank, have you seen them? They're on milk cartons, cereal boxes, you name it, right? Consumers are really looking for these signifiers on products, supposedly to certify the organic nature of the product. Now, unfortunately, the market is not exempt from frauds, but even the organic market's not. So it's extremely hard when the industry waters down and changes the standards of what makes an organic product organic. So in this situation, here is, you know, really no black and white standards, but lots of gray areas. So now in July 2018, there was this report in the Vancouver, Washington newspaper called The Columbian. And they asked the question if the organic seals are credible. Good question. So the article mentions standard disputes and fraud that is worrisome to companies counting on these seals to help them sell their products. So it makes consumers wonder, you know, have they seen this USDA organic seal you see in a lot of stuff, which is printed pretty much nearly on every product sold in stores these days. You know, is that seal, you know, really holding up a true standard, or is it a scam? Oh, what'd you say, Frank? The gray area is the favorite place of a liar and for fraud. Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's look at the seal claims real quick. So the organic seals are symbols to supposedly signal to buyers that the product has been produced without fertilizers, pesticides, either organic or synthetic, and the livestock was treated in a certain standard way. Now, words on paper really don't make that so, especially when, you know, there's disputes about the standards being used and also reports of conflict of interests and even fraud. There'd be a problem. So manufacturers are really not asking if the costs to be able to put these seals on their products is really worth the price in the first place. So manufacturers are starting to look at this, you know, sideways a little bit and saying, oh, hold on just a minute here. For a manufacturer, let's say, to put these seals, certified organic, USDA certified organic, whatever they are, on the product for consumers to purchase, well, they have to pay a fee. It's a licensing fee, basically. So the U.S. Department of Agriculture, also known as the USDA, and also the National Organic Program, or NOP, they both offer these types of seals at a price between several hundred to several thousands of dollars. Okay? So the manufacturers, if they want to put these seals on their goods, it's kind of costly to get this certification and to use the seal. So the average cost is around $1,200 a year for just one item. Okay, so if you're a creamery and you have ice cream you're selling and you're using certified organic cow's milk and so forth, just one ice cream flavor, or let's say, you know, vanilla, forget the chocolate and the strawberry, but just the vanilla is going to cost you $1,200 a year to get started. Now, the USDA does set its prices with approximately 80 in-house certifying agents, and the agent sets the rate a manufacturer has to pay to use the seal. Now, the price is going to be influenced, get this, by the size and scope of the manufacturer's operation. So it's not just, you know, a flat rate. They're going to see how big you are and how much money you pull. They think you're pulling in, and they're going to slap a price on this seal for you. So the agent sets these rates, and they have to pay this if they want to use the seal. And the price will be influenced by the size and scope of their operation, and the more the company makes, the more expensive the fee. So, however, there are additional costs for this. Do you see this, Frank? I see the leveraging and the manipulative whole thing here with this marketing complexity. I do. So the additional fees that, let's say, a manufacturer of, let's say, an organic breakfast cereal, or how about or manufacturer of a trail mix, right, for hikers, or an energy bar with whole grains, certified organic, blah, blah, blah. Well, they got to pay that $1,200. And then they got to pay an application fee, an inspector fee, an assessment fee, a travel cost for the agents to come see you, and also renewal fees. Fees, and more fees. Yeah. So these fees will reflect the size and scale of your business operation, and maintaining the organic certification is also kind of a headache for companies, as industry standards and policies will change and can alter these costs. Would you say, Frank, for that $1,200, do they at least go by on a random basis to make sure the company is actually organic? Well, I think we're going to answer that question here shortly, Frank. I really do. Now, some companies have figured out they figured out that it just isn't worth the trouble to get into this ball of wax and to stay certified. They focus mainly on making a quality organic product, and then they spend their money elsewhere, like on educating their consumer. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the word gets around here, because the Columbian reported in 2018 that the USDA, get this, Frank, could not justify their claims, which establishes their organic seals. Here is a quote from the federal court case, September 2018. It said, the U.S. Department of Agriculture was unable to provide reasonable assurance that required documents for organic domestic product. Do tell. Well, now the Washington Post in 2017 also blew the lid off the USDA massive import shipments of supposedly organic grains, which were really animal feed. Uh-oh. So there was also certain concern over organic dairy and eggs that they also certified as well. Now, farmers have also weighed in on the spirit of the organic market, and they feel it has strayed. So they said corrupted individuals exploiting the industry have created a domestic and international ring of fraud. Okay? And I read one case where this guy was, like, managing large farms and even renting farmland and buying farmland and importing, exporting, and got into a bunch of fraud, and he actually went to jail for 10 years. But, you know, it took a while to catch that guy. So the idea is good, but the current system needs replacing. Okay, the idea of an organic market is a good thing. So consumers really need to be more discerning when they're purchasing organic products. The smaller farms tend to stay away from the mass merchandising of the system, and what they do instead is they produce great organic foods. So likewise, now smaller family-owned manufacturers hold to a kind of a higher organic standard, and their products can be trusted, but they don't get into the murky water of the whole system there. Let me read you a quote from Charlotte Valley. She's a policy analyst for the Consumers Union. She says, the system in place isn't perfect, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't have a system that is really good. So apparently it needs work. And also Ronnie Cummings, he's director of Organic Consumers Association. He says, food co-ops and smaller stores may also be more knowledgeable about where products come from. You know, grassroots, you know, people that, you know, are out there, family-owned little health food stores and stuff and family markets, not these big chain stores. Their heart is in the organic stuff and selling something really certified. So you can probably trust those sources over the seals that you see mass-produced. So what's the root cause? Well, the problem is, this whole organic scam seems to have started with a few people in the agricultural market. So in 2021, there was this report in the New Yorker that revealed a few buyers and renters of farms were leveraging the organic market and even importing foods that were not organic and passing them off as organic. So in the organic market, a few tractor trailers full of grains that are organic are worth 4 to 5 times more than the conventional grain. So the problem is, you know, how do you know they're organic and they're being passed off as organic, but they're really conventional? Well, the folks that scammed the system became millionaires and billionaires within a few years. And you might be saying, well, wasn't there product testing? In some cases there were, but the standards are not really consistent, and some contamination is tolerated within this system. As one farmer put it, he said this. This is John Heinsicke. He's from Paris, Missouri. He said, the real difference then between a ton of organic soybeans and a ton of conventional soybeans is the story you can tell about them. And in that New Yorker story, they said salesmanship has played a large role in whether a crop is certified organic or not. So it's all about marketing. The organic story is legitimate power. Chris Barner, Organic Land Management Finance, he says this. It's a huge flaw in the organic industry that farmers pay the certifier, which is the USDA, many thousands of dollars. The certifier has a conflict of interest because they don't want to blow the whistle on the fraud. He goes on to say, if you saw the operation and saw what they do on the inspections, your mind would be blown. He said, I do thousands of transactions a year. They look only at 3. End of quote. So does this sound familiar to you, Frank? Does this sound familiar? What? As I thought, he says, the answer is no. Is there any info on who these people are and billionaire frauds? Yeah, there's cases on these folks. There's not enough air time to go into the details. You would love it, though. But does this sound familiar to you? Because just as there is little oversight and the fox is watching the hen house in the scientific research field, so there's this corruption and certification nonsense in the organic field, within this organic market industry. So in many cases, the manufacturers are paying for the seal that means little towards the quality and type of product inside the packaging in some cases. So, you know, it's going to get to the point where those seals aren't going to be trusted. People are just really at this point used to looking for them. They're conditioned to look for them. But, you know, what's inside that product container? It's sort of like buying a AAA rating, Frank, right? Anything for the government and their corporate franchise. Yep, what they touch is fraud. Yeah, I know. But it's sort of like, you know, the AAA where you go and you apply for, you know, not a AAA, but, you know, Better Business Bureau is what I'm saying. Sorry. Better Business Bureau, where you're paying for the rating, pretty much. So, let's talk about ingredient and process just for a moment, because, you know, I've always said that if you start with a real certified Tilth standard ingredient and you guard the process carefully, you protect that food source, you end up with an organic product in the end. Start with organic ingredients, watch the processing that it doesn't destroy the organic nature of the nutrition, and you wind up with an organic product. So many producers now in the organic market they're working really hard to defend the real organic standard. So your independent third-party testing right now seems to be the way to determine if a crop is organic. Forget the USDA, okay? Apothecary Herbs now obtains organic Tilth standard organic herb ingredients from these suppliers who provide the test reports on the crops. So they're third-party folks. They have nothing to do with seals of approval. They are just sent, and the lab tests them, and the report comes back. Now, a lot of cases, if the report comes back, you know, there's a little bit of taintedness or, I don't know, hint of GMO. What happens is a lot of these suppliers I work with, they destroy it. They don't sell it. So, you know, you could get crop-to-crop contamination, unfortunately. That's a risk. But the third-party testers have really good reports, and I trust a couple of the sources we use that do that. They have nice reporting on the organic Tilth standard herbs they sell. And they also, you know, a lot of them come from their own farm, and they still have stuff tested. Now, if there's anything coming from another farm within the United States, they still have that tested. So it's real important to keep on top of that. Now, Apothecary Herbs does produce a professional strength organic herb formula line. They help strengthen immune systems, metabolic systems. They cleanse toxicity out of your organs. So if you're into cleanse and nourish and immune boosting, they're the people to call. Give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Now, if you're outside the U.S., it's 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. Their website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. It's free healthcare options. Just became endless. Don't forget, ask for their free product catalog. And right now they're having a November sale, 25% off orders of $50 or more. If you use coupon THANKS21, and but hurry, the sale ends on the 19th of November, and restrictions apply. Oh, I can see by the break time, we got to take a break, and we'll be right back with more.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Go green. Herb Talk Live, green. Now with herbalist Wendy Wilson.
As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
We're back here on Herb Talk. All right, glad you're with us, and we're going to be talking about, since we're kind of talking about the organic market, I thought we'd talk about what's in your tincture, your herbal extracts as well, kind of give you a heads up. So there's lots of articles out there written by naturalists warning people of the dangers of herbal tinctures made with alcohol in them. So, you know, I thought to myself, why would a couple of professionals in the natural field be totally against a natural therapy such as herbal tinctures, which have hundreds of years of empirical history? Well, they just don't like the alcohol, basically. So I found out also why they're attacking tinctures is these folks owned and operated a supplement company that used glycerin instead of alcohol to make their products. So now, as an herbalist educated by one of the oldest natural healing schools in the United States, I want to tell you, I know the difference in tinctures made with alcohol and tinctures made with glycerin. I know the difference in these tinctures, and I'm going to tell you the difference. I'm going to let you know some secrets. Now, consumers may not understand that these two tinctures made two different ways are very, very different. And I thought,
like, well, let's explore this comparison again and share with folks the good, bad, and the ugly on these tinctures as far as potency and effect. Now, let's look at the alcohol history for a second, because before the modern processes of making distilled alcohol, there was this ancient way of fermenting grains or fruits. So in the 12th century, the distillation process for making alcohol got discovered, which, you know, made alcohol a little bit more potent. Today, the average beer is about 5% alcohol. Wine ranges between 12 and 15%. And, of course, your liquor, your grain alcohol is from 30 to 50% and even higher if you want 190 proof. So let's look at some of these careful things. So for those who would have you believe that the herbal tinctures made with alcohol are unhealthy for you and they shouldn't be for human consumption, well, they're not completely giving you the full detail and story there. Of course, consuming large quantities of alcohol wouldn't be good for you. However, an adult dose of a tincture made with alcohol, which is a quarter teaspoon, it contains 0.5% alcohol by weight or volume. So the average adult dose of a tincture made with alcohol wouldn't cause negative effects, even if you did have cirrhosis of the liver. There's just not enough there. And for most of us, we don't understand the average alcohol tincture is made with what would be the equivalent of 80 proof vodka, which is really 50% water. So using 100 proof alcohol in a tincture, well, it's really not necessary to go 100 proof unless you're trying to age, you know, resinous barks or something, because it's pretty much overkill if you're just using herbs. Now, some of the misinformation that does circulate regarding herbal tinctures that are made with ethanol, which, you know, that can be true, but some things are incorrect with regards to the ethanol or ethanol. Is the denatured alcohol. That would be unfit to drink. So it's denatured. So denatured alcohol is intended for fuel and not for consumption. So no experienced herbalist would, you know, use a denatured alcohol in a process for making herbal tinctures, because it could modify your plant molecule and also disrupt the enzyme compounds in the plant. So you get a completely different thing. So there are different levels of denatured alcohol. There's standard denatured, specifically denatured, and completely denatured. However, none of these types of alcohol are used in the herbal industry to make your tinctures, so don't let somebody scam you on that. So what the consumers need to really know is that not all ethanol is denatured, and in fact, ethanol is a pure grain alcohol in many instances, and it could apply to sugarcane as well, alcohol. So there are some who prefer not to have any alcohol of any kind in their herbal products, and that's fine. They can gravitate towards the plant glycerin tinctures, or they can remove the alcohol that's in the alcohol-based tinctures. So the herbal liquids that are made with a catalyst of glycerin will usually be sweeter, but they won't have the same concentrations of the plant alkaloids as an alcohol tincture will. So the supplement market will claim that the glycerin versions have the same potency as the alcohol tinctures, but a simple test will show that you will not need to consume more of the tinctured variety as compared to the glycerin variety to get the same benefit. So the tincture one will, with the alcohol, is going to have more potency to it. So now the absorption of the alcohol tinctures by the body is much faster and in the arterial blood supply, and it really it's completed in a matter of seconds. The glycerin tinctures have a 30% slower absorption rate. So the reason is the alcohol tincture is superior because it draws out the entire chain of the plant photochemicals or phytochemicals in higher concentration. And in many types of herbs, they'll have alkaloids which will need not only alcohol to capture them all, they may need vinegar as well. So those are the potency ethics, really, of tincture making. And basically, if you want to get all the alkaloid strength and the full chemistry of the plant, the alcohol is the superior way to go. What'd you say, Frank? They are probably alcoholics. They are as bad as ex-smokers. Listen at you, Frank. Behave over there. A little snarky today. Well, let's look at the alcohol-free version. You know, we were talking about that. Now, some herb manufacturers will make tinctures with alcohol and then use a process to extract the alcohol out of them and then add glycerin back in. So this may seem like the best of both worlds as far as the tincture-making process goes, but the absorption rate is diminished. So it contains less nutrition, not all the alkaloid gets removed, and therefore the processing of the formula then can further diminish the potency, so you're double processing it. So if you have a really good alcohol tincture and you want to remove the alcohol, it's a really easy step. So you warm some water. Don't boil it. Warm some water, kind of like bath water temp, you know. And then pour that water into a cup, about an ounce. That's 2 tablespoons. A shot glass holds a tablespoon, so that's about the perfect amount. So you got this warm water in your glass there, and then you take your dose of your tincture, standard dose for an adult's quarter teaspoon, 32 drops. You put that in your warm water, okay? So the water's not still on the heat. You've taken it off. You've poured it into a container that is holding an ounce, 2 tablespoons. And then you add your tincture dose to that water. And you let it sit for 5 minutes. And the warm water helps evaporate off the alcohol but leaves the herb in the water. Then you drink the water. Okay. So that's if you don't like the alcohol in there, that's a way to get rid of it. I want to check out some ancient tinctures for a minute because tincture making has a really long history. Glycerin for making tinctures came much later and is generally considered a poor solvent for extracting the nutrition from the plant compared to, let's say, using vinegar or alcohol at grabbing all those alkaloids. So when you're comparing the solvent effect of vegetable glycerin to the alcohol, according to Deborah St. Clair, she's the author of Herbal Preparations and Natural Therapies, she said that glycerin will extract fewer compounds. So glycerin, will extract sugars, diluted enzymes, glucosides, bitter compounds, diluted saponins, and tannins, whereas the alcohol version will extract alkaloids, glucosides, volatile oils, waxes, resins, fats, tannins, balsams, sugars, proteins, minerals, and vitamins. So it's pulling out, it's drawing out more of the true chemistry of the plant. So your glycerin tinctures are pretty popular with those who don't want the alcohol in their herbal medicines, which is fine. But the alcohol tinctures extend the shelf life and also the herbal product by as much as 10 years, whereas your glycerin product has a 2-year shelf life. So the alcohol tinctures are kind of like wine. They can be aged, and they can produce a more potent formula in the end. So the longer you age a tincture, the stronger it gets. So according to the World Health Organization, they're saying too much vegetable glycerin, which is propylene glycol, can create a buildup of lactate in the bloodstream and can lead to convulsions, cardiovascular problems such as heart attacks, and coma. So the Cleveland Clinic also reports that people can have sensitivities to the sulfites in the vegetable glycerin, causing asthma-like symptoms and other allergic reactions. Other reactions can be upset stomach, swelling of the tongue, difficulty breathing, nausea, diarrhea, and can rarely cause gastroenteritis. So just think of all the products vegetable glycerin is used in. It's in your cosmetics. It's in vegetable juice. It's used in the vapes for the electronic cigarettes. It's in quite a few things. What'd you say, Frank? Snarky. You bet. These people are liars. They're misleaders and deceivers, and they're promoting substandard product. Yes, Frank, they're being naughty indeed. I'm with you, you know, really. I think a lot of listeners out there are like, yeah, that's what it's calling what they are. Yeah. So I see herbal tinctures in general made with alcohol as kind of like that Special K commercial where you have one bowl of Special K and you got 30 bowls of shredded wheat. Well, your Special K is your herbal tincture that's made really correctly, and it preserves all the alkaloids of the plant. Its organic standard is met, and there's very little and limited processing. Absolutely no heat, no friction, no none of that. And you really get a fine product in the end that's very potent and has a lot of action in it. So if you're looking for alcohol tinctures made from certified organic till standard ingredients that are naturally aged and then cold pressed, those are going to have a superior herbal medicinal potency to them, and they're going to be instantly absorbed in a matter of seconds. They do have a long shelf life, and you're going to see the difference. It's like a game changer when you get a product like that compared to some of the garbage that's on the market. Well, those seals attached to the label, right? So give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call and ask for their free product catalog. They'll send that to you free of charge in the mail. You can also request one on their website at thepowerherbs.com. And you'll get a confirmation email that enables you to also download the catalog if you want. But a hard copy will be sent to you through the mail. So go to thepowerherbs.com and you click on free catalog, and you can check out there for free. Or give them a call and request one over the phone, 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. But if you're outside the U.S., you can also call 828-469-5972. That's 828-469-5972 and get a catalog, and then you'll be empowered. You really will. All right. I was talking with someone today, Frank. I could not believe it. Two people actually today. Two that had what I would consider, just by listening what they were saying, and I could be wrong because, you know, I can't give medical advice, but I felt that they had drug-induced symptoms. They were on a prescription drug that was giving them those problems. And this is what I tell you to people. Please go to your search engine if you have internet and type in the name of your drug and then side effects. Links will pop up. Look for the WebMD link, because it will list your common and uncommon and rare side effects to that medication. And you may find in that list is what you're experiencing. You know? And the other problem is working in the medical field like I did for a number of years way back when, doctors were kind of lazy about checking cross-referencing drug interactions. So you may have to double-check that if you're on several meds, because one prescription drug causes 100 chemical metabolic changes, and if you got two prescription drugs, that's 100 times 100 metabolic changes that are happening, and so you can see the complexity and the problem there. So this one lady had been prescribed some sort of digestive medication, and it was exacerbating a lot of her digestion to the point where now she couldn't even eat anything. She would immediately throw up. So I said, well, why don't you check the drug out and start there, you know, and see if the drug causes that kind of side effect. And sure enough, in the search engine and on WebMD, it said it did. So, and there's a simple test. Talk to your doctor if you want to talk to your doctor. And if you come off the drug, will that problem go away? Most likely. What'd you say, Frank? Isn't that also the pharmacist's job to check their mixing? Yes, they are. Sad to say, humans are not, you know, infallible. So I tell people, well, you don't have the internet. That's fine. your libraries or your bookstores have a book called Physician's Desk Reference, PDR. That's what it stands for, Physician's Desk Reference. And it has the lists of all your meds in there. And you can cross-reference there. You can look at all the side effects, rare and common. And you can keep that at home if you want to buy one at the bookstore. But libraries tend to stock them too. So you can always reference that as well. Well, we got a few minutes, so let's talk about, you know, too many prescriptions can reduce mobility, especially in our elderly folks, okay? So a lot of the media has coined the phrase polypharmacy, where, you know, patients are put on a lot of multiple drugs and it causes a lot of adverse reactions and it hinders their functions. Well, there is probably nothing more disturbing than to lose your personal ability to locomote, move, get up and go. So according to AARP, the people who are most affected are people 50 years of age and older. And some health experts are speaking up and saying, hey, it's the multiple medications these poor people are put on that causes a loss of mobility for them. So I thought we'd take a closer look at this and give you a heads up. Okay, so we're going to look at some stats. This is AARP. They're reporting on senior females, 79% of the senior females and 71% of the males tend to be on prescription medicines on a regular basis, you know, drugs for life kind of situation. Now, the age group that is hardest hit with the retired between the ages of 65 and 74, these people rely on daily medications. They take at least four different prescription drugs. And the healthcare system knows that when seniors don't fill their prescription, it's due to a cost on the medication by about 50%. Sometimes it's due to people say, I don't like the side effects, and that's about 15% of the time. So when it comes to the most over-medicated segment of our society, the seniors are pushed by their physicians to reject generic brands and take the name brand 40% of the time. So physicians give the following reasons. The generic uses different chemicals, the fillers and binders, and are poor quality drugs, made in China and have lots of side effects. Your brand name drugs, they say, cost nearly 50% more than the generic counterpart, and prescribing doctors also do get a little bit of a kickback from the drug companies when they write prescriptions for the name brands. So about 86% of your seniors listen to their doctor's advice and they take the more expensive medication. Well, I just think medications, you know, it's a double-edged sword. I think sometimes medication is necessary to stabilize a person possibly that is at risk of expiring. But long-term use of this toxicity is not healthy. Not healthy. So I think healthcare has its, you know, trauma care spot. I think they're good at that, and anatomy. But they don't really look at trying to resolve the cause of things. They medicate to control it and manage it, but they just don't help the body overcome. And that's where our philosophies kind of part ways. But getting back to our senior topic here, a lot of senior patients in America are really not told all the risks that are associated with their drug regimen. Actually, even scientific medicine doctors and pharmacists really don't know all the risks due to the hundreds of thousands of metabolic changes the drugs can cause. They're getting to your question there, Frank. So a lot of patients, millions of them, are taking their chances every day that their medicine won't cause them irreparable harm. Here is a quote from American Geriatric Society, June 2017, which stated, taking multiple medications can be linked to problems such as falling down, frailty, disability, and even death, end of quote. So, you know, we may be risking our independence following our doctor's orders, unfortunately. So always, always investigate everything your doctor recommends to you. Any product or therapy, always check it out. So as we age, we worry about, you know, falling off ladders or falling down a flight of stairs, tripping over things. our balance may be not so great. And by the way, I've mentioned this recently. If you have problem with balance, you might want to investigate Miranda Esmond's White DVD called Classical Stretch. She actually has segments in there where she works on balance for you. She explains to you what this is doing, working on your balance reflex, and it's low impact. So it's amazing to keep you flexible. So you don't get muscle spasms. You know, if you're not stretching muscles, you get a protein buildup in the muscles and you can have muscle spasms. So I think Classical Stretch is very helpful. So if you want to check it out, I would do so. Go to classicalstretch.com and see. All right, we're getting back to our topic. So people worry about these balance issues, and a few patients think about their medications as being the culprit at possibly making their imbalance worse, making their ability to walk or take care of daily living as the problem. There was a 2017 study in the Journal of the American Geriatric Society, and it was documenting results of the central control of mobility in the aging population. And it showed that if you're taking multiple prescriptions, it can strip a patient of their independence. The report stated that patients can run the risk of losing their ability to walk, talk, and perform everyday tasks. So how does that happen? Well, according to their study, if you're taking a lot of prescriptions, it affects the brain and the central nervous system. In the study of volunteers 65 years of age and older, none of them were using a cane or a walker during the study when they started the study. So in the study, participants were taking five or more medications prescribed by their doctor. They tested the volunteers in their ability to walk and talk at the same time. Seniors in America are most likely medicated for conditions associated with heart disease, diabetes, blood pressure, and this group of 482 volunteers was really no different. They found that the more medications a patient was taking, the slower their walking or their gait was, and compared to their counterparts that were not taking medicines. They also found that patients taking eight or more medications have the slowest walking speed, especially while they were trying to talk. So you have this drug-induced frailty that's happening where it causes weakness, less endurance, less independence and ability to function, and increases the risk of falling down, having a disability, and also mortality, dying prematurely. What, Frank? And he says, talk at the same time. They better not test Biden. Yeah. Or Pelosi. Have you heard her talking nonsense lately? Oh, what's wrong with that? Here's a German study. I know I'm running out of time, but here's a German study in the Epidemiological Journal. Seniors taking five or more medications a day. They said 5 to 9 medications a day will cause what is called polypharmacy, which means your drugs are increasing your frailty risk. 10 or more medications a day causes hyperpolypharmacy, so it merely exacerbates that. So if you're looking for ways to, you know, reduce your risk here, stay healthy, maybe you haven't looked at medicinal herbs and nutrition, and that may be a lifesaver for you. Call the folks at Apothecary Herbs, get their free catalog, and be empowered. 866-229-3663 is their phone number, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Check them out. They have a sale. Runs through the 19th. You'll save 25% off orders of $50 or more. Don't forget to use your coupon code THANKS21 over the phone, on their website, or on your mail order form. I'm out of time. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.